Behind every song is a voice, and every voice is a story. The journeys behind the voices brings life to the music that shapes each of us. Brought to you by Visible Music College and in partnership with the largest online Christian music site, New Release Today. This is Behind the Tunes, and I am your host, Austin Black. Together, we will explore those journeys, the journeys behind the artists that shape the landscape of today's music.
We're here today with Ben Fuller of BenFullerOfficial.com here on Behind the Tunes. Ben, thanks so much for hanging out today, man.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe that you have me on this thing.
Oh,
I
mean, get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of town.
I'm blessed right now.
But listen, now I want to go back to your days growing up for a second. You're from Vermont.
Yeah.
All right. Southern Vermont?
Southern Vermont, yeah. If that's Southern. I mean, can Vermont even be Southern?
Right. You in the South now, man.
That's
What part of Vermont were you from?
So a small town called Perkinsville, Vermont, and it's like 2 hours south of Burlington.
Okay.
Everybody, when I say Vermont, people are like, "Oh, I know Burlington, like you know Lake Champlain, or you know whatever." If they do, but most people are just like, "Is that by Canada?" So you know, it's all good.
It's all relative. It depends on what you're comparing me to. Well, you know, I had family that went up and planted a church in Montpelier. And so I went up for a number of years there to Montpelier to just do different things, try to support them, encourage them along the way. And so Vermont's a fascinating world. But you grew up on a dairy farm there?
Yeah. Yeah. Believe it. Yeah. We had 170 Holstein cows. And my dad, the black and white ones, and my dad always wanted to be a dairy farmer. And so I just got brought into it, you know, and I was, I have a sister, but other than that, I was a boy. And so, you know, it just, some days I wish my dad had some more sons to take a little, more of the heat and a little more load off my back. But it honestly, it was a lot. It was a lot of work.
Yeah. I have a buddy here in Memphis or south of Memphis. That he grew up on a dairy farm, and just the story that you know, he'd be like, "I can't stay out too late tonight. I gotta get home. I gotta get up in the morning, milk the cow."
Yeah.
You know, or he would leave 100%. Like super early in the morning to get home in time to. So I know, man, that's a tough life, man. But it's
It is.
Well, so you grew up in Vermont, and you are in Nashville these days. How did you get yourself from Southern Vermont to Nashville?
So basically, I think my first show. Ever. I've always been a singer, you know, like I've always loved to sing. I've always loved to, the music would take me out of the place that I was in. If I was feeling low or feeling mad or upset, you know, I could sing and somehow it would always provide this relief, you know? And, I found myself, I think my first show was February 25th, 2017 in Vermont, sorry. And so a bunch of my friends showed up, a bunch of people came out. It was this little dive bar and, word just started spreading. It was like, "Hey, Ben played this bar and, it was good." And so we, you know, like, let's have him at our bar. Let's have him at our restaurant. Let's have him at our, so I started playing live music in Vermont and New Hampshire, in 2017. And then, for a whole year, I guess. And then the fall of 2018, is when I started hearing from people like, "Dude, you got to go, like, you got to move. You should go to Nashville. Cause you could make it, you know, like you're good enough to make it." And so, yeah, I sold my house in the fall of 2018 and, I moved, it sold in one day. And the woman that bought it was from Nashville, Tennessee.
Really?
It was like 20 hours away. You know, I was like, "What?" I was like, "That's kind of," I was like, "That's pretty crazy." But I moved down in the fall of 2018 and it just, I was terrified. Dude, every single star from every single hometown who can sing way better than me is there. And they're like all trying to get noticed and seen and heard. And it's like, I was overwhelmed. I was like, "What am I even doing down here?" You know? So it was scary. I got a job working at Broadway and at Tootsie's. I played Tootsie's for a whole year down there, and I got in the first week that I was there. I got told that, you know, I could go do an interview there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday, and I could sing. And I think I did Queen in my double wide trailer or something. And they hired me on the spot. They're like, awesome, we'll see you tomorrow morning. It was in a Sunday morning. I started playing at Tootsie's at 10 a.m. And I would do the 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. shift. And most days, because I'm a morning guy from the farm, you know. And so I was like, so yeah, then that just led to a whole year of me playing Broadway, which is, it's just, some people love it, but I was just like, I kind of got lost down there, you know. Mm. So,
you're playing Tootsie's, you're playing all throughout. And so that was country music, right? You're pursuing at that point.
Yeah.
So obviously you're not in that world anymore. Yeah. Where, at what point did the shift from Tootsie's and country music to the Ben Fuller that we know today, when did that happen?
Yeah, so I was I played Broadway for a whole year, and then in the fall, it was in the fall of 2019. I remember I was driving home one day, and I lived in Cool Springs, which is like 26 minutes or so from Broadway, and I was driving home. I got a phone call from this family from Vermont, and I answered it. Didn't have their number, but I answered. Anyway, they're like, hey, this is the Davenport family. You may remember us. We came to some of your shows in Vermont. We know you're here in Nashville. We're here too. Do you want to come over for dinner? And I was like, you know, like, I don't turn down meals. You know, I'm like, sure. You know, I'm hungry. I got to eat. So I was like, sure, let's go. And so I went there that night, and God, I didn't even realize, but they told me the story, and they said that they moved down here about a year ago, and a year before I moved down there, and in 2017, and God moved them down there. They felt led down there by God to go to church, and so then sparked this conversation. And all of a sudden, at the end of the meal, they asked me if I'd like to go to church with them the next morning, and it was a Saturday night, and I think I said yes with my mouth full. You know, like, I was just like, sure, you know, you guys fed me. You guys helped me. Like, at least I can do is, I've always loved people, you know. I was like, the least I can do is go to church with you guys and come see what it's all about. And mind you, Vermont is 2% Christian. And, you know, the only time I've been to church is for funerals and weddings.
Yep.
And so I went to Church of the City, 3,000 people. It was in the late fall of 2019. And I just remember, like, walking into that place, and, like, everybody was beautiful, and everybody was just smiling, and everybody, like, it was just the atmosphere. I was like, what is this place? It seemed fake almost, you know. I was like, what is this? And then I heard the music, and God used the music, and the auditorium doors were wide open, you know. And I just remember, like, leaving the family I was with, and just, I kind of just, like, booked it for the doors, and I stood in the aisleway. And I believe it's the first time I heard from God. And I just felt this overwhelming feeling of, I'm going to play this music. I'm going to sing this music for the rest of my life. Mm. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it is. I don't know anything about it. But everybody was standing there with their hands up. And I just remember I was awestruck by it. And I was like, this is what I've been looking for. Like, that's the feeling that I had. I was like, this is what I've been looking for my whole life. And I swear, if somebody was filming me, they would have seen my feet were off the ground.
Yeah.
Because I was higher in that moment than any of the cocaine or the sex or the alcohol or any of the stuff that I've done, you know. And I was just like, and I remember saying in that moment, like, all right, God, if you're real, like, if you are who they say you are, then take away these things that I've been doing. I don't want to do these things anymore. I don't want to be this guy anymore. And I was drinking 17 beers a night.
Wow.
And, you know, all of a sudden that turned to 12, turned to 10, turned to 8, turned to 2, turned to, you know what, I'm good tonight. I don't even want a beer. And my friends, you know, people were like, what? What'd you say? You ain't going out tonight? You ain't, you know? And then the swearing too, just my mouth was awful. The swears just started leaving me, and I was feeling convicted about stuff I was doing. And all of a sudden I realized, like, my life is changing. Like, you know. And to be honest with you, I felt like Jim Carrey. Like, I'm like, you know, and liar, liar, because I'm like, you know, I'm like looking at this. I'm like, the pen is blue. Like, I'm like holding on. And I'm like trying to lie. And I can't, I'm trying to like deny. And I can't even deny it. Like, I was like, I felt so guilty. Like, my conscience was rolled out on a red carpet. I couldn't even fake it. And my writing changed. My life changed. My language changed. Everything changed. And the common denominator for that is Jesus.
Shaking faith, but the God I know says it ain't over. The God I know is gonna make a way. Yeah, though I walk through the valley, I will have no fear, no fear. The mighty power of Jesus is fighting for me here. No fear, no fear. If I got standing on a mountain, walking through barren lands. You took my hand and you said, you can have this world, but I won't go with you. Oh, I won't go with you. But I ran out of places, feelings I was chasing. All I have is you and you alone. Ooh. this I'll see. Slave in the dwell in the house of the king. And if that means that I leave all my things, then I will go with you. Oh, I will go with you. But I've been out of places, feelings I was chasing. All I have is you and you alone. Should I go? Your spirit will follow me down to Sheol. And the thing about the king, he's always with me, so I can't run from you. But I won't run from you. And I said, hold on, wait a minute. I don't want what you in and then I don't want to go unless I'm going there with you.
Fascinating. I was having a conversation this morning. I heard somebody say something last week, and I think this way, but I, for whatever reason, I never just thought it's such a clear statement. But it was, there's one way to God, but there's a lot of ways to Jesus. And just listening to your story of some random person, right? it's like the story of Ruth, where she just so happened, you know. Some people just so happen to have heard you in Vermont. They just so happen to have moved to Nashville as you did, a little bit before you. They just so happen to have found out you were in Nashville and they call you over for dinner. And like literally your life has changed from that moment. And then God is using you to change other people's lives. And it is fascinating.
It doesn't make any sense. It makes zero sense. And in fact, it's just like, that's what keeps me coming back to God, is the mystery of God. It's like there's no chance, there's no coincidence, there's no anything. It's like I keep seeing these things happen over and over again, and I'm like, that how could that person be perfectly placed here and perfectly placed there, and all of a sudden but not coincidences, you know, so maybe once in a lifetime, but this is like I'm seeing it happen all around me, and I'm like, okay, I've got no choice but to believe.
Yeah.
Well, what else could it be?
Even that family to, because obviously, probably, they knew that the path of your life was not a good one at that time.
Yeah.
But they didn't call you over for intervention. They called you over for dinner.
Yeah.
You know?
It was a meal.
Yeah. Because I'd be willing to bet, like, if they had run an intervention on you, so to speak, you might not be having this conversation today.
No, yeah. We wouldn't. I'd be gone. And because I had, and the stigma of church in a non-church place, my thing was this: if I walk in that building, that place is going to burn down, all the things that I've done. And it's too holy. It's too special. I'm not good enough. Like, and that was my thought about a church. Anyway, it says, no. And my other thought was, you only go to church because old people only go to church because they're just getting ready to die. And that was my thought as a non-Christian, as an unbeliever, as someone who had never heard the gospel. I was like, my grandma and grandpa, they went to church, but they're old. So they're just, you know, they're old, and that's what old people do, is because they're preparing to die. And like it's so sad that I thought that way, but that's what I was, you know, I wasn't taught any different, you know, and I don't blame my parents. or anything, because, you know, that generationally speaking, it was passed down from my family. Like, there were just things that weren't talked about, you know, and that was obviously one of them in my family, that, you know, we just didn't go to church and didn't talk about it and didn't, it wasn't a thing.
Seen him do it a thousand times, yeah, even in He made his mercies new, 'cause he knew we'd forget all the things he's done and just how good he is. He's a faithful.